Darius Vassell, striker and author of the world's most difficult to track down book ever. Played for Villa, City, Leicester and briefly enjoyed Beatlemania levels of fame in the Turkish Super League. 22 caps for England, 6 goals, a dab hand with a power drill and winner of the 2001 Intertoto Cup. We've somehow finally got our hands on a copy of his book, so let's see what the book club thought of his autobiography on this, the final leg of our road to the road to Persia on today's Football Book Club.
This wasn't something I planned to say, but he's given me real Paddington vibes.
He's like a little Disney princess.
Trevor Sinclair at one point was ready to like Jackie Chan the whole nightclub.
Am I not say Parisian whores?
I don't know.
We expected to see a tiny baby swimming around, but weirdly, it looked more like a cashew.
Mulan could destroy me. Ariel could absolutely annihilate me.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, everyone's in good spirits because it's the last one.
Because we soon get to stop.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Oscar Wilde, more AFC Filed. And oh, there we go. We got a tash. We hooked her in. Jack was pretending not to laugh, but I can see you.
I was gearing myself up for it.
It's our first football team one. We never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking new ground, Liam Francis.
Sure. Did you come up with that one, or was that submitted?
Liam Francis.
Liam Francis.
Prolific.
The Liam Francis. What's the Beau Selector guy called? Is he Lee Francis?
Lee Francis.
That's the past tense of Lee Francis.
I will leave.
I'm James Bug, and over the series, we've read classics such as Neil Ruddock's Hellraiser, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Jimmy,
Boo.
And Gary Lineker's Favourite Football Stories. Sorry to remind you of all them. But today, the road to Persia must finally come to an end. It's the last episode of the series, and we're doing it. We are finally reading Darius Vassell's 2017 autobiography, The Road to Persia. And joining me to read it, you might have already heard them. It's Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
James Belgian. That's your new name. James Belgian.
Hello.
And Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
We made it. We almost made it. 9 months later. Months since this journey began.
You can probably get to Persia. You know the show...
Race Around the World.
How long does it take for them to get to Persia? Probably not 9 months. Probably much quicker than that.
Yeah. They get to like Singapore in about, I don't know, like 2 months or so.
Yeah. So,
well, Jack, I'm going to reveal something later that tells you that it does take exactly 9 months on the road to Persia, actually.
What could you possibly be talking about?
This is
great. This is what our podcast needs. Throwing to the future. Throwing to later on in the episode.
Yeah.
So many people start, they hear jokes about Oscar Wilde and FC Filed, and they go,
off.
But then Tash saying, something to do with 9 months and Persia later. And they're like, I'm back in.
Whatever could it be? We've spoken about it before, but just to remind everyone, this book is impossible to track down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not impossible because we got our hands on it, but it was so hard to find it in the first place. No one has read this book. Except us, as far as I'm aware. Well, I found a copy on some website. Paid quite a lot, more than I would pay for any other book. More than I would pay for 4 copies of every other book, usually. And it's been sent around the country, so I read it 6 months ago. I read it at Christmas. And then I gave it to Jack. Jack read it around just after Christmas.
Yep.
Jack sent it to James around circa March. Are we talking?
Yeah.
Circa March, I think, James. That was circa March.
Yeah. Also, there is a copy on Amazon for £99, so you could have just sent me that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why didn't you do that?
There is. I was going to come to that later, but fine, whatever. Fine. put into it. There is one copy on. I'm not paying £99 for it. No matter how. Spoiler, it's a good book, but I'm not paying £99. And then James sent the book to Tash.
And I still have it.
Have you read it?
Yep.
And that is it. We do. It's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants. football book club.
The sisterhood of the traveling Vassell. I genuinely, there's a real like medieval, like how books were done in the medieval era, is sort of the feeling of it, where you feel like people would have said, you know, there's this book by Dante called The Divine Comedy, I must lend it to you, and then it would take like years to go from person to person.
Yeah, that's,
I can just
true.
Imagine people in the future being like, there is this book by a legendary man known as Darius Vassell, you must take the road to Persia. It really feels like a journey.
To be fair, like Darius Vassell, the road to Persia, if you had no context for that, it does sound very impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
It sounds like the kind of book that like Henry the VII would have censored. He'd have been like, oh, we got to make sure we don't, you know, make sure that Darius Vassell. This is highbrow stuff.
I was going to say, it's getting too highbrow.
It's highbrow.
Tash, say something dirty. Always.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like it would have like, you know, like dusty prostitutes from like back in the day.
That's more like it.
Like the road to Persia. I can imagine him like falling in love with some sort of backstreet prostitute.
He can take my road to Persia any day.
I was pitching you, Jack, as one of the Parisian whores, I think is probably the way to say it, in Les Miserables at the very beginning, in that scene when you said that thing. Yeah.
Oi, Darius!
Am I allowed to say Parisian whores?
I don't know. I feel
he's going to stop me.
What's interesting is that I'm sure we've said worse words in this podcast, but it's certainly the dirtiest I've ever felt.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm sad this book hasn't been read. We'll get to that later because I feel it should have been read a lot more. But there's a lot to get excited about. There's a lot of surprises. It did get a bit of attention when the book came out. I think a few bits were in the papers at the time of release, which is even more maddening why it's just disappeared off the face of the earth. And there's a few things people know about him, of course. Off the football pitch, there's the drill incident with his toenail, I think a lot of people know about. The goat sacrifice in Turkey on his debut. And the welcome he got in Turkey when he signed for, I can't remember the name of the club. It's very hard to pronounce. I should know it.
I noticed you didn't pronounce the name in the intro. I was like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then you went, Turkish Super League. You coward.
If anyone hasn't seen that video on YouTube, somehow you need to track that down of his welcome. It's incredible. But guys, enough about that. Let's just get into it. Let's get on the road to Persia. Are we excited to finally chat about it? It's been so long in the making.
Yeah.
I think this book, this is going to make me quite emotional, genuinely. And I can't. There's quite a lot about this book that really makes me quite emotional. And I feel like it's been brewing for quite a while. We've been, you know,
9 months.
9 months it's been brewing. I mean, I feel like at the end of it, we're going to give birth to our opinions about it, and it'll be very graphic and upsetting for everyone involved.
Cool. Well, that's something to look forward to. Let's do it. Let's see what the book club think of Darius Vassell's magnum opus. Over the show, we're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll have a dramatic reading, a quiz, and Ken Zong is back one last time with another chant. But first, let's see what Amazon is saying.
Okay, so people have read this book.
People have read this book. It has 4 reviews, despite never having any copies for sale, apart from the 99 quid collector's edition or whatever it is on there at the moment, which I didn't pay anywhere near 99 quid. I'll reveal at the end. That's going to be my reveal, how much I pay for this book.
Genuinely curious to know how much.
It isn't one of the quiz questions, but I can make it that. Why not? Hey, why not? And all the reviews are very good, actually. They're not funny, but they are good. Like this 5-star review from our old friend, unnamed Amazon customer, who writes a heartwarming story that is as funny as it is inspiring. A book that teaches you that with enough hard work and determination, we can all move beyond the obstacles that come our way. Jack's already off.
Oh,
Jack's
going. Yeah. You're speaking my language, unnamed Amazon reviewer.
I'll come to you first, but yes, I was going to say that sadly there is no review from Basel Boy. Even Basel Boy cannot get his hands on this book. And he never will. He's never going to read it. He's never going to get it. But what did everyone else think of it? I'm coming straight to you, Jackie B.
Okay. A lot of the time on this show, we make jokes about how bad the books are and how, you know, like, why did this get made? This is the first time I've ever been like, this book is brilliant, and it's genuinely very angering that more copies don't exist and that we're not talking about it constantly.
Everyone. All the time.
I would say it's better... I would say that in terms of stories and the rest of it and in terms of how much I enjoyed it, it's as good as Vardy. And Vardy got loads of attention because obviously it would. And I find it mad. It's absolutely mad that we can't get our hands on this book, that we had to do this ridiculous, very fun, but ridiculous, like, pasta parcel through the country. I'm furious. Like,
it's interesting you mentioned Vardy. Just, I was going to say, because Vardy's book obviously came out when just after Leicester won the league, I think, and it was when, you know, he was at the height of his fame, probably. Whereas Vassell, he hadn't played football for like 4 years at that point. Yeah. So I think maybe he kind of fell off the, you know, the edge of the world a little bit.
I don't care. I genuinely, I really, really feel like, Darius, if you're listening, editors, if you're listening, anyone who's listening, this is a great...
The band editors.
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 Perking up, being like, oh? We'll talk to Interpol. I couldn't remember any editor songs, but could only remember a band that was around the same time.
Munich?
Yeah. A lot of serious
smokers
band
outside
names.
The hospital doors.
Yeah. Mm. It sounds quite sad, doesn't it? All these songs. Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, but you love the book. long story short.
But people, this book should be a lot easier to get your hands on. Really.
Yes. I mean, I totally agree with that. I feel like, you know, I don't want to go all Marcus Rashford here, but I do feel like this book specifically should be more easy for everyone to read.
Yeah.
In that kind of way. They need to put more books in the hands of children, and this is the first one that children should get. Tash and yes. James, what did you think of the book? Tash, let's go to you first.
I agree. Like, I think of all the football books that we've read, as someone who, you know, now hates footballers because I've read so much about them and I think they're pretty much universally knobheads, he comes across really well. Mm. You can tell, like, he's a very genuine guy. He takes his success very seriously, but he also just seems quite nice. Like, I actually finished the book thinking, yeah, I'm glad this guy had all this success.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish he had a bit more in some ways. Because, I'll get this out of the way. At times, the book is downright insane. It has some moments which are just, they go from paragraph to paragraph. Sometimes it's bizarre, but it is very honest. And it's really well written. And he comes across really sweet and so humble for a footballer. And, like, almost like to the point where he's, he feels like doomed all the way through it. It's weird. I feel really supportive of him because he's like, oh, I kind of knew I was going to miss that penalty in Euro 2004 and I'm not that good, but I was good and I don't know if I'm that good. And it's really so unfootballery.
Yeah.
For that reason. There's no bravado.
Yeah.
How long is the book, Tash? I can't remember now.
It is 234 pages.
But good length.
It's pretty dense, I will say. Yeah. Like, it's pretty, the font's pretty small. But I finished it and I was like, that was really long and good. And I would comfortably probably read a bit more. Like, I would happily just read more from him.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd like to know what he thinks of the world.
He's up there with your favourite authors.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Who thought that would happen? 4 series in, you found your new favourite author.
I tell you why he's my new favourite author, because he's only written one book, unlike the Michael Owen or, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he have a blog at some point?
He did. Yes! I think that's what was going on when he was in Turkey, right? Yeah. That's where he first wrote about the goat that was sacrificed.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of attention.
There you go, there's wider reading for you, Jack.
Ooh, I wonder if it's still up. I think it is
from memory, but I'm not sure. I don't know. James, we haven't asked you yet. What did you think of the book?
Yeah, he's very humble, and I think he's like too humble. Like, he's like a genuinely nice, down-to-earth guy, and I think he was like more talented than he realized, and that kind of crops up quite a bit through the book. But he's kind of like the whole way just like, well, I wasn't that bothered about playing really. I wasn't, you know, it was on the bench. That was fine. I was fine with that. I wasn't that bothered about playing for England. And even when I did, I wasn't one of the better ones. So it was fine. It's like, come on, Darius. Like, come on, boy.
That's exactly what it is. You just want to give him a hug all the way through.
Yeah.
It's so humble, though, that he includes, I noticed, 3 photos of Dion Dublin in the photo section. Which, not even photos with him. Just like photos of Dion Dublin signing
for the
club.
He writes John Gregory, doesn't he?
He does write the
forward.
It's
very cute.
It is a huge highlight. And even Dion Dublin's a bit like, he's kind of just saying like along the lines of like, I kind of know Darius.
It's like when you're asked to be the best man at a wedding and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, it made me think of, have you seen that interview with Cardi B where she's like, oh, yeah, now I'm asked to be everybody's godparent.
That's what Darius is like.
Yeah.
You've gone Homes Under the Hammer a few times and everyone wants you to be their godfather.
There's a bit with Daniel Sturridge as well, isn't there, where it's a similar kind of vibe where he's like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's asked me to write this bit. Like, he was... spoke to him a few really times. Nice. He's an all right guy. Just like, he doesn't even know him.
They say super nice things about him, though, because he seems like he generally is a lovely guy. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily seem like he, you know, he did make friends. And there's obviously, he's very close to J. Lloyd Samuel, R.I.P., throughout the thing. So perhaps he would have written things in there. Mm. Yeah, but, you know, I love that Dion Dublin wrote the foreword. I love that he used the foreword just to write that he's faster than Darren Huckabee. Yeah. As well.
I saw that. That was so funny. Yeah,
it was really funny.
And I mean, there are lots of really cute bits in the foreword where he's like, he remembers the fact that I assume this is one of the few stories he has about Darius Purcell that he can tell, as you say, because he's not that close. But he says that they had like a housewarming party, and at the end, Darius and his wife Imani fell asleep in the car outside the front door of the Marquee. And he was like, I don't know if it was tiredness from their daughter keeping them awake, or maybe it was something else. Wink, wink. And it's like. It's like, oh, Dion, no.
And then 2 hours later, it's like, I was just generally tired. I was
just... Because also, I could completely believe that he would just be genuinely tired because he's a sweet, lovely man. A lovely, tired man who falls asleep at parties.
Let Darius sleep.
I cannot imagine that man ever having sex. Do you know what I mean? Yourself? Yeah, I'm just can't. Try. He's very...
That's all I do.
No, I can't either.
It's weird because I think he's an attractive guy.
Yeah,
but he. You're right. He does seem entirely reading this book. He just seems very like sexless.
Yeah, peachy.
Very peachy.
Oh, peachy. I think he's a peachy.
I imagine he is quite peachy as well.
He sort of reminds me of Paddington. In the sense,
yeah, I can see that
he gets up to.
You don't have sex dreams about Paddington.
Oh, I do. Obviously, have sex. Sorry. Apart from the fact that he's not sexy, he reminds you of Paddington.
Yeah, of course. Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Because he has so many ridiculous, mad things happen to him, but he still maintains like a sense of wonder and like pure of heartness. But he but like chaos happens around him that he's sort of responsible for, but not quite. He genuinely, this wasn't something I planned to say, but he's given me real Paddington vibes.
That's interesting. Okay, well, hey, I can see what you mean by it. I do see what you mean by it.
It's always a relief when you get the bit that you're going to say at the top of the episode out early, right?
Out of the way, that's your clip. That's your clip. Give me real Paddington vibes. It's an all book club. Also, shout out to Darius for being the first footballer to give a shout out to Ducati in his acknowledgement, saying thanks to my motorcycling affiliates Ducati Wolverhampton and NW something. I can't see because I'd take a photo of this book because I sent it off, obviously.
What page is it on? I will tell you what it is.
I have no idea. I'm sorry.
It's the very front, though, isn't it?
It's right at the beginning. But the Bike Safe thanks to the Bike Safe product for all providing the guidance to further understand safety on both the road and the track. I don't think he mentions motorbikes once in the book, but
he does, because I remember looking it up where he talks about like going motorbike riding around Scotland with his family, which again is so cute. Aww. He's such a cute man.
Doing some sweet controlled slides around the Scottish Highlands with Dion Dublin. Jack, I feel like, now we mentioned Dion Dublin before, I feel like it's very prudent that we move on to your topic for this week.
Well, I mean, I love Darius Purcell, and I think what I love about him so much is how he seems to treat other people. Like, I think a lot of the time in football books, you know, you're like, oh, I like this person, he was in my crew, he wasn't in my crew, and like, I didn't like this person, and we had this fight. You just don't get that sense with Darius at all. Like, he just seems to have this... He seems to have such warmth and like a sense of not love, just a sense of respect for everyone. And I mean, it goes throughout the book. There's a bit where my favorite bit of the book is when he finds out that Jibril Cissé, who's playing for Liverpool at the time, who he's I don't think he's ever had a conversation with.
Nope.
He finds out that he's broken his leg, or he's broken his tibia and his fibula. And he says, I'm going to send him a message. But he doesn't just send him a message. he sends him one in French because he's learning French.
Yeah.
So he sort of he gets someone, he writes it in French, and then he gets someone to look over it, and who's French, I assume, or just a friend who's like, I don't know.
He actually just asked Alpay to look over
the Alpay Turkish centre back. Headbutted a wall, and he was like, I guess that means that's good, sure. But then he didn't just go, you know what, okay, here we go. I'll send it on to Jibril Cisse's agent, or I'll send it on to someone who knows him. He sent it to Liverpool as fan mail. Fan mail, like it's
so
going
sweet.
Through the club. Like Jibril Cisse is going to like read this, you know, like letters he gets from 10-year-old kids, and then one of them is going to be from Darius Vassell, a colleague.
The image that is less. However, I'm not convinced Jibril Cisse actually read it, because again, a very sweet moment afterwards by Darius. He says, I didn't get a reply, which is understandable because I'm not the greatest at that either. I didn't mind they didn't get a reply, but I just wanted to know whether he had received it or not, whether it made any sense, and to show him the support of a fellow footballer.
You couldn't get two more opposite so characters in football, could you, either? Like,
you really could.
Ridiculously opposite.
Yeah. Darius, never meet your heroes. Don't meet Jibril.
Don't meet Jibril Cisse.
But the thing is, the book is, I mean, that's my favorite bit, but there are so many bits like that in the book. Like, he just seems to have such a sense of, I don't want to say childlike wonder, but I suppose it is. And there's another bit where he says, as a young kid, I would hear the name Matthew Letizia read out frequently on BBC One's Grandstand show. He sounded so exotic, like an expensive foreigner. And it's just like, it's beautiful.
That's the only time we ever had the word foreigner in one of our books come up in like quite a nice usage.
Yeah.
Of it.
And ironically about someone who is the least foreign in the world.
Well, Jersey.
It just sort of like, I mean, it's just packed with to the rafters of these wonderful stories.
Yeah,
where you just feel
when
like,
I was reading it, I was like, as my nan would say, he's a very well brought up boy.
He is, you know. And I mean, there's another. I'm just literally my whole section is going to be me saying there's another bit because there are so many beautiful bits. But there's a bit which is so sweet where he says that he was doing research for this book. He was watching some of his goals back, and he said, watching my goals back now, I noticed that Martin Petrov set up almost all of them under Sven. When I scored my goals, I didn't know who had set them up, as I was in a moment of elation. Watching it back on TV, it looks as though I'd custard pied him off on each occasion, and it was awful to watch. If I ever see him again, I will thank him properly.
Aww.
I mean, if that's not what Paddington would say after scoring a goal for Manchester City where he accidentally forgets to say thank you to Martin Petrov, I don't know what is.
Marmalade sandwich, Stillian. Not Martin Petrov.
It's
a different Petrov. It's a different Petrov.
I think he just strikes me as someone who is, like, even Alpay, who gets his contract terminated after for Aston Villa, because, you know, I'd completely forgotten about this, by the way. He played for Alpay, played for Turkey against England.
Yes.
And went so mad that Aston Villa had to cancel his contract immediately because there were people like burning effigies of him because they were so angry about how he like was basically being a complete shithouse. And he says he wasn't just crazy, just fiery. It'd be nice to see him again, and I hope he's happy and enjoying life. Guys.
Yeah, he is lovely. I just wanted to one thing on this, you know, talking about ex-pros and people he played with. Mm-hmm. One thing he does interesting, which I think the only book so far we've had who does this. Well, two actually. Louis Sahar did this. He got called Pappy by called Mikel Arteta Pappy. I don't know what it was. Something weird. And Jermaine Pennant kind of did a little bit as well when he got Sky Andrew to write some segments of his book, but mainly because he was too lazy to write them himself.
I feel like Sky Andrew jumped in for reasons to defuse any lawsuits.
Yeah, that's probably it. But what he does is he gets some other players to write chapters occasionally. So Sven writes one, which is very interesting. His manager at Man City. And Daniel Sturridge, who he played with briefly at City as well, writes one in there. And I think he was also a Villa kid or something. Or like he grew up in Birmingham. They knew each other from around there somewhere.
I think so. He says he knew Dean Sturridge, who's Darren's...
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's Daniel's... uncle. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. But the Sven thing sums up just what I think a few of us are trying to convey about how he's... kind of the footballer with the lowest self-esteem in the world. Sven says at the end of it, it's like a little like the kind of thing someone would message you once you broke, if you've broken up with someone and you're feeling really down about yourself. He goes like, I hope that these memories stand out for Darius over his penalty miss, but an event like that will always stay with you, especially for someone as dedicated as him. How many people play for their country, Darius? Just once, maybe? Darius, you did it 22 times. Scoring 6 goals, and you didn't let anyone down. You should be very proud of what you achieved, just as I was proud to manage you. Football's like a drug, and I really hope you stay involved in the game, Darius, as before you know it, you will miss it. You're a role model, the perfect professional, and I hope you're able to pass on your knowledge and your experience to help the next generation of footballers. Good luck for your future, and take care, Darius. Do you think Sven knew that was going in a book, or he thought it was a letter?
It's like what your favourite teacher writes in your leaving
yeah,
book.
It's like a
it?
Report. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what exactly. it is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
That, although there is also a bit where Sven slips into eulogy mode, and he sort of, as if he thinks yeah, that yeah, maybe Darius is dead, and he just hasn't read the email properly. Because he says, Darius was never a problem on or off the field. He always did exactly what I wanted him to do as his manager. He gave me everything. He with great professionalism. He had the biggest heart. Yeah. Real like there'll be people weeping in the front of this. He's like, no, it's just from a book, mate. It's fine. Don't
shame.
Worry.
What a shame. Poor Darius. Yeah. They're really, really sweet. And also, on the subject of ex-footballers in the book, there are a couple of Football Book Club regulars I wanted to mention. Michael Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Revisionist Michael Owen history here. Owen comes across, contrary to popular opinion, as a nice guy in this book.
No, yeah. he is.
Because
the Owen no, truther.
We'll get on to truthing later when we talk about Ken Zong. But Michael Owen, when Vassell misses that penalty against Portugal in 2004, Michael Owen says, look, you don't have to have all the heat go on. You don't have to come at the same time. Stay in my place in Portugal for a few weeks and just relax there. What a nice thing to do.
What a nice thing to do. Nice. Or he's and showing then, off the fact that he has a place in Portugal.
Maybe. Well, I won Sports Personality of the Year in 1999.
I bought a place in Portugal.
Yeah. But then he does, I think he did go on to slag him off in the third book, didn't he?
Owen, yeah, he did.
Like, who let Vassell take a penalty?
Yeah, and it feels like a lot of people have slagged off Vassell in their books.
When did this book Andy come graded. Out in the Michael Owen...
I think 2 years before
time
reboot.
Space continuum.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Around that kind of time.
Okay.
But Andy Gray, you mentioned, said in his book, weirdly, that Vassell should smile more. And he brings it up in the book. He brings
well,
it up,
at least he's saying it to a bloke for one.
That's very true. He does say something about Andy Gray in there. He says
sitting there barefoot at Birmingham bus station.
What he needs to do is take his shoes off more.
Doesn't he say that he was at the PFA Awards, wasn't he? And he was sitting next to Darius Vassell was sitting next to Andy Gray. And Andy Gray, I assume, was drunk and just like kept on saying stuff like, You need to score more goals.
Yeah,
why aren't you scoring more goals? And Darius Vassell's like, okay, Mr. Gray, I will try to score more goals. What I will
say. Yeah, he said, I knew I need to listen and filter as much advice as possible, especially when it's coming from someone with more experience than myself. So he handles it really nicely. Yeah.
This is the purity of Darius Vassell.
Mm.
That even people who are quantifiably dickheads.
Not Michael Owen. We love Michael Owen's get the tide's turning on Michael Owen.
No, I'm sorry.
Gemma's going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Hashtag be kind, Michael Owen.
She was talking about how her dad taught her to lick a horse's arsehole last night on Love Island. So.
What?
Bloody hell. I need to not watch the show.
No, I want to know
on
why
the tusks?
Now.
Yeah. I'm kidding. She did say that though.
Wow.
But what I mean is that he is so pure of heart that he even makes these people come across well. Like any other footballer would have been like, why the fuck is Andy Gray telling me to score more goals? Like, you know, he's a has-been. He hasn't done any of these things. How dare he? Darius Vassell is there going, yes, thank you. I will take that under consideration. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Like, what a lovely...
I know. He's like a little
times,
Disney princess.
He is.
He is kind of like a Disney princess. Yeah. I know what you mean by that. Aww. I feel like this whole episode is just going to be us going, aww.
I have no problem with that, genuinely.
Well,
I hope he doesn't hear this, because he's going to be like, what the hell? Is this what people think of me? I'm going to go and be a tough guy now. I'm going to like kick a window in, like, just to, like,
yeah, like, let's not be around the bush. He could kick the shit out of all of us.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Tyrell could beat me to death.
That's one Disney princess I do not want to fight, baby.
You know what, James?
I would want to fight a lot of the Disney princesses. Mulan,
I'd let him. Frankly.
I'd lose to her.
Yeah, Mulan would fuck you up.
Mulan would destroy me. Mulan would absolutely ruin me.
Is this the bonus content this week? Is Disney princesses that would beat up James Bug?
I think Ariel could fuck me up.
Nah, I reckon I'd have Ariel. But oh no!
I reckon Tash would have Ariel. I don't think James would have Ariel.
Different conversation. Tash could have any of the Disney princesses.
Tash is giving Mulan a run for her money.
Belle would knock me out.
Yeah,
and Belle's pathetic.
that was a cut line, wasn't it? From the Gaston just going, you know, Belle, pathetic. You right now, Belle, you're being absolutely pathetic.
Get locked away by some big hairy bloke in France.
Just cringe.
That sounds that like your summer, James.
It does sound like your summer.
It does sound like that. I do go to France, not that often, getting locked over by a hairy bloke, but I'm always down for it. I'm always down for it. If anyone can arrange that, fix it for me.
So if you can fix it for James to be beaten up by Ariel, the mermaid, with her fishy bit, and locked away by a big hairy man in France.
Make a boy's dream come true. Sounds like a sex kink. It's not a sex kink. Just proving a point.
It sounded a bit
that's
like
that's what
one.
They all say about sex kinks.
For a while. The first two, you're like, Mulan could destroy me. Oh, Ariel could absolutely annihilate me. Like, oh, we've unlocked James's kink.
Yeah. Oh, do me, Cinderella. Anyway, James, let's move on to your segment as quickly as possible.
Are we me already?
I'm going to crack this open for your section, James.
Oh, lovely. Oh,
you're going to need it. Drink to get through. Tash has got a Malibu and
I've
Malibu
got
and
Malibu
Coke,
and
is that?
Pineapple. I'm pretending I'm back on holiday.
A little beer as well.
Oh, no, yep. We're lads on this show. We're lads.
Absolute lads.
We
last day of school.
Not by Disney princesses, but we're lads. Exactly. It's last day of school. Jack signed my shirt.
It's true. I've told Darius where we're recording. He's going to come beat us up.
Yeah. Head teacher's written as a nice note. All done.
Yeah. It's all lovely. Jamesy B.
Yeah, so he goes to City. I can't remember the actual circumstances around that. He wasn't like bothered either way, was he? Like everything. He's like, well, yeah, no, I'd have stayed, I'd have gone. It's fine.
He was. Didn't he want to stay at Villa? And then David O'Leary was like,
nope.
Oh, yes. No. Yeah. And then Darius Vassell was like, I'll show my seriousness that I want to stay at Villa so much that I'm going to buy a house in Birmingham.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
That sounds about right. Yeah. But you enjoyed the City stuff, James.
Yeah, I did. So, like, Trevor Sinclair took him under his wing, didn't he? And it's really interesting, this, because at one point, just out of nowhere, he was, like, sort of saying, you know, like, it was dead inclusive and everyone went out together. And I think they went to a Ricky Hatton fight all together, all the squad.
Yes.
And then they went to a nightclub afterwards in Sheffield, I think. And then Trevor Sinclair, at one point, was ready to, like, Jackie Chan the whole nightclub. Like... Some guys were causing trouble and Trevor was like, right, I'll handle this. And he was going to like fight like however many guys, like five or six guys by himself. Never would have had Trevor Sinclair down as that sort of...
I think we always should use Jackie Channing as the as the verb for what's going to happen.
Darius
Vassell
is going to absolutely Jackie Chan us.
He's going to Jackie Chan you. He's going to get Jackie Chan. Ariel is going to Jackie Chan me.
You wish.
I wish.
It was that bit is really weird because he says that the way he describes it is that there were some people on the dance floor who kept trying to deliberately push them off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, you spilt our drinks, mate. It's like, no, let's try and push Darius Vassell and Trevor Sinclair off the dance floor so they're having to dance near the toilets.
But that is the kind of naff microaggression you get in nightclubs. I'm not sure if I ever told you about a place called Missoula I've been to in China. But it is the kind of like thing that an annoying person would do, especially if you saw a footballer there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it. But you've seen three.
Seen three. And they very quickly barricade themselves away from me and everyone else in Missoula Championship. But yeah, it's that is I can see that being a thing, and I can see that being That, when you're getting drunk, I can see that being a very annoying thing for Trevor Sinclair. So I'm Team Trev.
No, of course I'm Team Trev, but I think if Trevor wasn't there, Vassell would have just been like, oh, it's fine, I understand. You know, they're better dancers than me, and, you know, they were probably here first. It's fine, I'm cool with it. So, well done, Trevor. And then also, like...
You've
so
kind
Andy...
of got a bit of Frank Spencer in your voice. When you
oh, please. Please don't make me dance in a car park.
Andy Cole was at City as well, who, this is like quite a sweet bit, because he was one of his idols when he was growing up. He was like his hero, basically. So he said that he didn't want to get too close to him because he admired him so much, so they didn't have much of a relationship. He just kind of kept back, which was like really nice. But then it goes from that really sweet section to a very bizarre moment when he says this. He says, after being sold by Villa, I was determined to not allow that feeling of failure to creep back in again. In a moment, by myself, I came up with what was almost a personal motto.
Oh my God.
Scat FC, which is questionable in itself, where every letter had a sentence
it's not more
coming
than question-
up it.
It's more than questionable. Scat FC, you're going to come up with a mantra for yourself. Don't call it Scat FC.
It is fundamentally amazing that this book is so wonderful and heartfelt and brilliant that I'd completely forgotten about Scat FC until you said it just now.
God. It's the only bit I remember.
And also that I'm still not that traumatized by it, and we're about to talk about it. But
it is incredible. James, please tell us what Scat FC is.
He basically said that he came up with this personal motto, Scat FC, where every letter had a sentence coming off it, and it stood for the following: shoot on every occasion, keep moving to keep up motivation, always look around to know the situation. Toe poking is effective, but not part of education. Follow-up shots, so goals. Follow-up shots, so goal chances are never wasted. Close down defenders, but red cards need evasion. That's his. Mm-hmm. How the hell is he remembering that for a start?
It's like a weird FIFA manual.
it's very it does sound strange. Like a tutorial in FIFA,
yeah,
doesn't it? L1 to close down defenders.
I used to have a fantasy football team called Sket FC, and I feel like he's ripped me off, to be honest.
That's
you need to change the E.
What did the E stand for?
Elways.
Every defender is an opportunity for passing and scoring.
It's but he so could weird. Have rearranged those letters in so many different ways than Scat.
It's such a long-winded, like...
Facts. With it. Facts. K-facts.
But it would have to rhyme, guys. It has to rhyme.
Mm.
And how else are you going to rhyme?
Wait, did it rhyme?
How else are you going to remember that very convoluted...
Always look around to know the situation.
Wait, it would always effective. Rhyme anyway. Every single word rhymes, right? So whatever order you put it
pretty
in, it would rhyme.
Pretty much.
Apart from follow-up shots.
Yeah, that's the only one. Right,
so funny.
It's just nonsense, though. Like, what do you mean shoot on every occasion? That's ridiculous. Like, you can't shoot when you're on your own box, Darius. Or, like, what if it's a throw-in? You're not going to shoot then. You can't just shoot all the time.
What if
that's
you're,
silly.
Like, at home, hanging out?
Shoot on every occasion, Tash. How hard is it to explain?
Like, imagine how long
it's a
good
job he doesn't live in America, innit? Jesus Christ.
Yes, politics.
It kind of reminds me of when I was in Thailand a few years ago. It was like one of the temples, and they had all these like what are they called? Like sayings? What are they called? There must be a better name for that.
All right. like proverbs or sayings?
Proverbs,
know,
yeah. And they're all sort of like, you know, radiate boundless love towards the entire world, like drop by drop, the water pot is filled or whatever. And I found a photo because when I was at one of these temples, it reminded me of this, so I had a look. They were all around the whole temple. It was like really nice little like proverbs. And then I think they just needed one more and they'd ran out and they went, quick, just let's just make something up. And the last one was, one who hoped to get rich from gambling is a daydreamer. <It's> like, that doesn't sound like a thing.
Okay,
I don't think that's a fortune cookie.
Yeah. That's very much the toe poking is effective, but not part of education.
Yeah,
of the of that particular temple.
What a bizarre!
It sounds like a It sounds like a sort of, as you say, FIFA manual kind of mixed with a Tony Blair speech.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
See, toe poking is effective, like, but imagine not part if you had like a madam in a brothel, and when she was giving you your intro on your first day, I can imagine her saying that to you.
So when I go to Paris and I meet the whores,
yeah,
and Jack the whore, yeah, he will take me to his...
Talking exactly. is effective, but not part yeah. of education.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madame Le Bernhard.
Yeah.
You got a quick promotion there. Yeah. Before you were just one of the girls on the.
Like, I'm moving up in the world now.
Yeah. Always look around.
To he's on know OnlyFans the by now.
Yeah, sure. He's yeah, revolutionizing.
Well, hang on, guys. I'm picturing it as a 19th century French whore, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. As Les Misérables time, but you kickstarted OnlyFans. I think is the way. It goes.
Why is he French? Why is he French? Why? Where did
that?
I think we just thought of Les Misérables. Just it's about 40 minutes.
I'm seeing him as one like Victorian prostitute. That's what I'm seeing him as. Like
before I was doing
Oliver Twist.
The whole toe poking is effective, but not part of education.
That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, in the Les Misérables film production and the onstage production. And many other recordings of the thing, they do have Cockney accents, the whores.
That's true.
Oh, really?
The whores have Cockney accents. So it's very, very similar. I was just going to say, I've been watching a bit of Wim Hof's Freeze the Fear, that show on BBC One that was on, and Patrice Evra was on there, and his mantra before he does everything is, it's quite an enjoyable show.
Yeah, I saw him on there.
Yeah, his mantra is, I love this game, I think he says before everything.
Of course.
Which is a very quick thing to say. Like, Darius Purcell, if you're on that show, having to repeat this six-line, like, short story. Okay, Darius, pump yourself up. Shoot on every occasion. Keep moving to keep up motivation. Always look to keep up the situation. Toe bag is effective, not part of education. Follow shots, so goal shots in every way. Close down defensive, but not red cards in every occasion. And then going again and again and again to try and do it. Like, it's madness. That's not a mantra.
Because he says he did it, like, before every game after joining City. Every game.
Every game.
Just sitting in a dressing room.
Still thinking about Scat FC.
Yeah.
I don't think we dwelled on that enough. Scat FC, what the fuck was he thinking?
Sorry,
that is insane. I love you, Darius, but that is mad. Okay, out of context Darius Purcell time. Who has got a lovely out of context Darius Purcell?
I got two.
Two?
Yeah. First one is one who hoped to get rich from gambling is a daydreamer. No, I do actually have two. Here's one. I talk to myself quite often if there's no one around, or even my grandma.
Brutal. Oh, absolutely brutal.
Second best, grandma. Anyone else?
I finally arrived at the hotel after hours of travelling alone and got to my room, absolutely shattered after travelling, to find Barbaros set up in the room, chilling in his boxer shorts.
To find who? I missed that, sorry.
Barbaros.
Who's Barbaros?
Exactly. You'll never know.
Sorry. I thought it was a footballer for a second.
He is a footballer.
His client.
Oh. Oh, okay. Interesting. Tash?
Yeah? He had a cheeky grin. It almost said to me, stop, hammer time.
That's really so good.
I've got one. And again, I love you, Darius, but this isn't... I'm an independent person. I say independent, but people have helped me a lot over the years.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a very classic footballery one.
That really sums up the book, because he immediately commits to something and then goes, oh, no, you know what? That's not right. Sorry. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't give other people credit. Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
I mean, Daniel
Sturridge
really helped me.
this quote as well, because... Like we said, like throughout the book, he's kind of like, oh, you know, it's fine. But then other times he's like, you know, I know that I could be the best. I know I could be really good. And this out of context here is, this may seem like a big statement, but even at that age, I can remember always striving to achieve a better situation for myself. Like the Farsley's Rusks, for example. I always wanted more. I wanted better. What? Why is he like...
No, because I remember that story. That yeah. I remember the story with the Rusks.
Yeah, he loves the Rusks, but then he's like...
Explain it.
They can't just be. There must be more to life than rusks.
Than rusks.
There must be. There must be other snacks I can eat. What else is there? I need to find them. This is just a strange example to like strive for more.
And after the break, we'll find out if he ever did break free from rusks. And there'll be much more Darius action, including Darius's hobbies, and we find out just what the title of the book means.
Hi. We're Football Book Club podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hucks. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are still reading Darius Purcell's extremely rare classic, The Road to Persia. Oh, it's been worth the wait, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you often say these things as sort of like a joke, but it has.
I never
joke. This is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Genuinely.
For sure.
I feel I can't convey to enough people how good this book is.
This almost makes Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's book worth it. Anyway, almost, not quite.
Get Maisie back on, we'll tell her.
Yeah, yeah. She's not responding to our messages anymore.
She's not returning our emails.
In no way is she responding to that. I want to talk about Darius's hobbies, and let me caveat this once again by saying I love Darius Purcell. I think he's very, very sweet. However, it is objectively hilarious how he just drops in some of his hobbies. We mentioned earlier how he learned to learn French when he was playing for Villa, I think. Something to do, I think, as far as I can tell. He uses his time in Manchester to learn to play the guitar in between having fights at nightclubs with Trevor Sinclair. And at one point, he just builds a water-cooled personal computer, which,
I love that.
Yeah, I think Ken Zong would like that. Ken Zong's very into tech. I might tell him that.
I think that is so cool.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think your attitude of, I love Darius, but isn't it a bit weird that he tried to learn French and play the guitar and better himself?
I think
himself.
It's good that he's trying to better himself, but I find the fact
he loved lockdown. I bet he got into all sorts. But also,
his whole life is kind of like, he's retired, isn't he? So I guess he's not.
Well, yeah.
His life's probably
always making them like Dalgona coffees and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really into TikTok trends. Really, yeah. just massively into them. The oddest one is, and the reason I think those other ones are lovely, and this one also is quite sweet. It's very strange. His very specific genre of reading that he likes to do. I think Jack agrees with this.
I do agree.
This is bizarre.
But again, I find it very cute.
I totally agree. So this is when, this is the genre of literary light. This is after he missed that penalty and he's very low. He didn't want to leave the house. My girlfriend would go to the shops and cook for me each night, and she really looked after me as I just wanted to rest and be at home. She never once spoke about the penalty, but somehow managed to make me feel so much more confident and better about it. Again, poor Darius. Really sad. I can remember her buying me some highlighter markers. She noticed that I was reading a lot, and such a simple gift meant so much at the time. Okay, let's see where this goes. She showed that it was okay for me to just see me, even when I was printing out lyrics from my favourite artist just to understand the depth of what was being said. A task that would take hours, as the music I listened to at the time was quite esoteric. I wanted to relax before the new season started. I felt like signs of proof. Right, so he's printing out lyrics to songs and highlighting, reading them in depth and then highlighting bits of them with a highlighter. That is...
This man would have loved an English degree.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
You're wasting your life, Darius.
I wrote my entire dissertation on Kanye West lyrics. Like,
did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You could have done with some Darius's highlighters.
Darius, if you want to read it, I'll swap you for another copy of this book.
Wow.
Please, oh my God.
It's not worth 99 quid. So that's a pretty good thing.
Wait, if he was constantly printing out song lyrics and highlighting them and studying them, why is his little personal motto so terrible?
That's actually a lyric by Nas. That's Skepsy. It's straight from a Nas track. It's bizarre, and it just sums up the bizarre turns these stories take sometimes. You can't really predict where they're going to go. I did not see Darius Purcell printing off rap lyrics and highlighting them for hours on end, coming out of nowhere.
It's genius. Have you genius lyrics?
Oh, rap genius. Rap genius.
It's basic. Rap genius.
Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah.
He invented rap genius.
He did, much like you invented.
Do you reckon
OnlyFans.
He like color coded it when it was like a double entendre got green, and when he got onto Jay-Z and there was some triples, he'd go on to like orange. Go,
oh, yellow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hello.
Or then
he had highlights.
Or like a sort of a like a 30 Rock reference or
yeah.
Sort of, you'd be like, I'll do a special yellow one for that one. Oh, what a,
God, this is descending
Darius.
Into Jack Bernhardt statistics territory, I feel like.
Right.
Stay clear, Dora. Stop now. I still can.
If you have any copies of those lyrics and you just want to send them over.
Oh, I'd love to see them.
I'd love to see them, please.
Very strange twists and turns like that, though. There's a bit where his dog slips on some leaves and hurts its spine out of nowhere, which is very sad. It's just funny how he mentions it. I love animals, but it comes out of nowhere. And this one that really threw me. Another funny story is when I met Stacey Bourne, who worked at the hospitality department of the club. I was there with my dad watching games. I think I was injured. My dad started chatting her up on my behalf, and she asked straight away, "My son wants your number," as I was painfully shy. She had a boyfriend at the time, but gave me the number anyway to be polite. The boyfriend got wind of this, got my number, and messaged me that he'd blow my kneecaps off if I went near Stacey. I'd only just started using a mobile phone, and trust me, I was scared. Despite this, I kept my kneecaps intact, and me and Stacey ended up best of friends, still in touch today, not living far from each other, and sharing an interest in music. She spends most of her time travelling now, but utilising modern technology. I was given the opportunity to record guitar on one of her tracks not too long ago. Who the hell could see that last bit coming?
Wait, is that why his friends are Dion Dublin? Do you reckon they jammed together?
Oh, with the dupe.
I reckon Darius Fussell had a hand in the dupe but won't take credit for
it. Yeah, he invented it. And Dion was like, I'll take it.
I'll take it from here. And then he was like, I'll use that Homes Under the Hammer money to... No, I mean, that story is so funny on so many levels.
Yep.
A thing I like a lot is where he said, "I'd only just got a phone," as if like he just literally unpacked the phone and the first thing he gets is a text from a guy saying, "I'm going to blow your kneecap off." He's like, I'm gonna turn this off.
I got a message from Orange saying how to activate my answer phone. And then, okay. Whoa. Wow. Should we do this week's dramatic reading?
Yes, please.
So you got a choice. You got a choice, actually, okay. Guys. I'll give you a choice. We can either do Darius and the Power Drill, set that straight, or Darius and the Sacrificial Goat. Which is it going to be? Which is it going to be?
Oh, it's hard, isn't it? The Power Drill we need to talk about anyway, because I feel like, in a way, it's a metatextual thing. Because did we mention it on the Alan Hansen episode?
I don't think it came up in that book, but it might have done.
But
it's one of those that everyone knows about. Yeah, so
it's in the book. It's definitely in the book. I checked in the book, but I can't remember if we talked about it in the episode. Because that's fascinating, the way he kind of has to talk about it.
Are we going
to
do it as the reading?
Oh, I don't
know. What are you
going to do? Oh, I don't know.
Goat or drill?
I'd go
this
drill.
This is a new Netflix show I don't agree with.
Drill, Tash, Jack, Drill.
Drill.
Forget the drill.
Yeah, drill. Let's do it.
Everyone knows the goat story. It's basically a goat gets sacrificed before his first game. It's grim. We've already made fun of his dog for hurting its spine. Anyway, right, let's go into it.
You made fun of his dog for hurting his spine. We all stay very quiet.
Somebody cue the dramatic music, please.
Cue drillmatic music.
Very nice. Now I'm going to play some drill beats or something in the background.
True, you will.
I will not find that on freesound.org. Anyway, it was truly a season to forget for me, although one story stands out from that year. All for the wrong reasons. I can remember heading into training with a sore toe one day, and I went to the physio, Alan Smith. Oh, how's he talk, James?
It's not that one. Different one.
But let's imagine that he speaks the same. What would he say?
That's disrespectful to the physio, Alan Smith.
Oh, say the line.
Sit down, Device. Let's have a look at you.
That's what he said. Yes! There we go, we got it.
He had a look of absolute despair. As soon as the name Alan Smith came up, you could just see James Balgin's face.
Here we go with my low quality impression once again.
It's not low quality. That is one of the greatest impressions of our time. Alan Smith, the top corner of my toenail was sore to touch, and once Alan pressed on it, there was a lot of pain. He took a hemodrill, nail trephine, don't know what that is, out of its case, which is used to drill a hole in your nail if you have a blood blister. That's what it is. He began to drill down my toenail in order to release the blood and ease the pressure. Oh, by the way, there's a bit of a vivid story. I should probably give a warning about this. If you don't like
some kind of warning, please.
Yeah. don't just skip ahead about 6 minutes, wherever long this is going to be.
Spoiler for Drill Pus. By the way, Drill Pus is one of my favourite artists to print the lyrics out of.
He does love Drill Pus. He began to drill down the toenail. It was excruciating, though, and I yanked my foot away from him a few times and explained that I'd have to do it myself. I'd done it many times, and I thought I could control the level of pressure I was gradually exerting.
I'd done it many times? Yeah, what?
Alan Smith was doing it, wasn't he, surely, at this point?
Yeah, I was like, I just pulled off my toe, like my toenail, a few times.
Yeah, very odd. I thought I could control the level of pressure I was gradually exerting without being in agony. We agreed that I would take the hemodrill home with me, which is just a small battery-powered drill, like a wall nail or screw, and come in early the next day. It was still throbbing the few hours between training. Oh, bit like Emil and Penza.
Oh God, filthy! This book is pure light and beauty, and you are turning it into something disgusting.
I'm sorry. It was still throbbing. I rested up and went back in extra early to train the next day to get the physio to take a look at it. By which time, he could confirm that it had been affected all along. That was why I wasn't able to stand the pain of the drill, so I was given a toe injection by the physio, who also removed the infected nail and all of the pus that was underneath it. Oof.
This is disgusting.
I gave a warning for drill pus. I gave a warning for drill pus.
Which, hey, look, you hire drill pus, you get drill pus. That's what happened.
That would have disappointed all the fans who wanted the drill pus if I hadn't mentioned that. Which obviously meant I was going to be out of action. I'm thankful to Alan because I haven't had a problem with that toe since, and I wasn't an easy patient to deal with. We could have skipped all this bit, bloody hell. Meanwhile, Graham Taylor was asked the media. This is the important bit. That none of that stuff was important. Was asked the media as to why I wasn't available to play, and between him and the physio, all we'd heard was that I'd taken a drill to my toe at home. I can imagine his face as he was listening to the physio report, knowing he had to explain it all of 5 minutes later in an interview. It came out as if I'd grabbed a Black & Decker out of the garage and hacked away at my toe with blood flying everywhere. I've been asked so many times about this story, and the whispers around it have turned to something hilarious. There's even an animated video on YouTube about it, and it's always listed as one of the strangest injuries in football history.
And it was in the book. It was legitimately in the book.
Alongside the ones where the players get injured getting out of bed in the morning or something like that. There we go.
But it is interesting because it does feel very unfair because it's quite a normal story when you really like dig down into it. And it is harsh that it has been able to, you know, become this ridiculous story where, as you say, Darius Vassell grabs a...
This idiot drilled his foot off. Yeah.
This is the thing that never made sense with it, is that why would he do that? Why, unless he just didn't want to play for Aston Villa that week.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? I'm going to drill my foot. It never made any sense.
So no, I agree.
The fact that he was able to give this clarity, I think, was quite... And also because Darius Vassell, as this book
proves, nobody's read this book, so no one knows.
No one knows. We're telling everyone. Suppose, we're passing on the good words.
To spread the truth.
Yeah.
Do you think YouTube is suppressing this book to keep that animated story going?
That's the only place to do it.
Yes.
Oh, shit. And let's not piss off YouTube again.
YouTube have worked out the only thing keeping them profitable is that one video.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
This gets out. We're ruined.
Let's move on quickly. Thank you for clarifying it, Darius, but sadly, it is now much less funny, admittedly. So there we go.
Yeah, but it's truthful. And that's what we aim for here at Football Club.
And isn't that the
not
real
comedy,
funny?
It's truth.
Yeah.
No. Certainly not.
Not at all. Natasha Frisco.
Yes.
I feel...
We've made it.
The big reveal is a-coming.
Yes. On the road to Persia.
Very much so. But what did you think of the book? Was there anything in particular that you really liked in it?
I did really like the book. However, I am going to reveal what it means because it kind of links into what I'm going to say.
I feel like I should play the dramatic music again.
It does feel like we've been...
Road to Persia dramatic music because the Road to Persia...
Back on free sound for me.
Yeah.
More delicious drill pus. Another hit beat from drill pus here. Love it.
The road to Persia is...
His daughter!
What?
No way! Wow.
Persia is the name of his very beloved daughter. And obviously, Jack is clutching his chest. That's why he loved this book, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's all do our collective Come on, let's do our officer.
Because technically Turkey is Turkey in Persia, because I was always a bit confused by the name.
Iran is Persia, right?
I think he kind of stretched, but
I think that's what works about it, because you sort of go in being like, is that quite right? It should be called the Road to Persia, and then you find out that really the whole road isn't about the football team.
His daughter.
It's about his daughter.
His baby girl.
Oh, baby girl.
The Which took 9 months to make, just like this episode.
Hey, there we go. It's 9 month connection. Yeah. In this time, we could have given birth to Darius Vassell's baby. Scrap that.
I could have. You lot might have had a job, but I would have given it a go.
I could have.
You'd have tried. Yeah, you'd certainly have
tried. My next series, I'm going to give birth to a baby.
Wow, the off-season's going to be very weird for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've already promised doing a big fat quiz of Øyvind Leonardsen to our football book club, so this...
And you're going to get beaten up by a mermaid.
I got beaten up by a hairy mermaid, or something like that. I can't remember. I'm very hot. It's very warm.
It's very warm tonight.
And also, I'm wearing shorts because usually my trousers ride up when I'm recording, and the shorts are doing the same thing. It's bloody annoying. I thought they wouldn't. Sorry, too. Tash. Please carry. It's so annoying. Tash, please carry on. Please carry on.
Well, as he gives chapters over to various people, he gives one over to his wife Amani, who discusses their family life in a very warm and sweet and lovely way. And the way that he talks about his wife throughout leads me to a theory.
Here we go.
It wouldn't be a Tash story if it wouldn't have a theory.
Well, right, his dog, his beloved dog, is called Jermaine.
At the spine lad.
It's called Jermaine.
Slipped on the leaves.
Yeah.
And he says that Jermaine is named after his favourite singer, Jermaine Williams.
Okay.
But
who is that?
I think this is a retrofitted name because, A, he refers to Jermaine as she many times.
Mm-hmm.
B, who the fuck is Jermaine Williams?
Yeah, I never heard Jermaine Williams. Yeah, I'm glad no one else has.
And C, he mentions Jermaine Williams way too much. Like, it's almost like he's been like, he's heard of a cool band and he's like, yes, you know, this is this band that I love and I saw them once at Glastonbury and I've heard them on Six Music, they're really cool, but he's never actually listened to them.
He's got confused between Jermaine Jackson and Robbie Williams.
Well, I think he's read some feminist literature when Persia was born.
Wow.
He's named the dog after Jermaine Greer. Then Jermaine Greer got all problematic and he was like, no. So I'm going to Google other people called Jermaine Williams. And then what would you do if you'd been clocked by your mates calling your dog Jermaine Greer? You'd give your next dogs like really manly names, wouldn't you? So what are his dogs called now? Spartacus and Denzel.
Yep. That's a good point.
I think there's a big leap in there in some way.
As theories go, I think it falls down because it relies on the premise that Darius Vassell can lie, and I don't think he can lie.
No, but he would only lie because he was trying to save face because he didn't want people to think he was a turd. But anyway, I think it's really sweet. Like, I do think he is a feminist guy, and he stuck around and he gives Amani the chance to share her side of her life. But what I love about her bit is she uses it to list all of her sporting successes. And shy about his. And she immediately comes through with, well, I was basketball champion and I got a scholarship to America. Then I started playing golf because Darius introduced me to it, but he's shit. But did you know, when I was 8 months pregnant, I won the tournament at the Belfry.
Yes.
I just love her. She's
In fairness to her, she is also, while saying this, she's like, and Darius was so happy for me. When I won the tournament, Darius was more excited than I was.
I forgot about all that stuff.
It's so lovely, you guys. But you're right, it is very funny.
Yeah, because he's so shy about saying any of his successes, and she's just like, well, me? Do you know about me?
You need that sometimes, right? Opposites attract and all that. Yeah, you need someone to...
But I will say something. Both of them are really terrible at science because they do not seem to know how babies grow. So they went to their scan, their four-month scan, and the quote is, we expected to see a tiny baby swimming around.
Swimming?
Weirdly, it looked more like a cashew. What the fuck were they expecting? Like the Nirvana album cover, like, swimming around.
Why is there a note
in
there?
When did I eat a dollar?
But they called her Persia because Darius was the king of Persia in the Bible, which is kind of cute.
That's cool. I like that. That
I'm
connection.
Really glad that my parents didn't do that, though, because my dad's called John, so I'd have been disciple, maybe.
Wait, why? I see, because Darius cut that, yeah. Or is Baptist. He?
Yeah.
Baptist.
I'm not very good. Oh, Baptist. Yeah.
Oh, Baptist Frisco. Baptist Frisco sounds like another. Baptist Frisco, yo.
It's Sounds like one of the rappers he would highlight.
I love the idea.
Drill
that,
pass. Let's go.
John's surname was possibly Disciple. Like, that was all there. Yeah. They're all actually brothers. No one knows that.
Yeah. Hey.
There is something a bit odd about what they do with their daughter, though. They have a folder of pictures of her, and every single week they do a collage with her and share it with the family. Like, sorry, if I was their relative.
Sorry, I don't think that's weird. I think that's completely normal and cool.
Do you make a collage every week? Yeah.
No, but I do massively overshare photos of my daughter. And
that's
fine,
though. But doesn't he say something like those 25,000 photos? Like, yeah. That's too many.
And your daughter doesn't look like a cashew.
Well, look, guys, if I was retired and I was a millionaire, I reckon I would. Yeah, that's the worrying thing. My entire life would just be me taking photos of my daughter. And then sending them to just random people, really. Jabril Cissé.
Airdropping them on the bus. Like, yeah, I'm used to getting dick pics on that, but if someone sent me a picture of the baby, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cute. He just wants to show her off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so you're absolutely right. It's weird. It's weird. And there's another bit where, which again makes me think they don't understand babies fully, where apparently Armani was annoyed at Darius because he kept on going into her room, into the daughter's room, and like waking her up so that he could cuddle her.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's certifiable behavior. That the idea that you would look at your daughter and be like, do you know what's great about this sleeping baby? The one thing that's missing though about this sleeping baby. The fact that she's not awake. That's what I want to do. And then just like poke her until she awakes.
Yeah, that's what triggered you, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. I was very much... Because I have a night... I'm currently recording this like as far away from my baby as possible to be because she's asleep.
Jack's fed the house.
Yeah. I'm out in the car park at this point.
He's outside making collages.
sending people on the bus.
He's a bit fucked up though by the fact that his dad just lies that he played for United at the top or something like that. Throughout the book, his dad pretended that he played for United for some reason. And then like years later, he's like, oh, you didn't, did you? Nah.
Nah, I didn't, mate. It was just a lie I told you. There are lots of weird things in his childhood that are like that. Like there's a bit where he breaks his eye socket. Running after the cat.
Yeah,
there's lots of strange bits in this whole book.
Yeah. I think it's about time we wrap it up. We dab about it. There's so many things that the reader, one day when they pay 99 quid, is still to discover out this book, including all the stuff we didn't even talk about, Simon Turkey, which, to be honest, I think it's because most of that is documented elsewhere, I would say.
No, it's because none of us wanted to attempt to pronounce the name.
That is possibly true as well.
There are so many funny bits in Turkey. There are just like bonkers things.
It's
that
quite sad
constantly.
Actually, he doesn't get paid or anything when he's out there. And it's...
I know, and it genuinely, that bit made me really sad. But it was also he dealt with it so well, like he in such a respectful like manner. Yeah. He's constant. Like there's a bit. Sorry, I'm not to. Not, I know we got to wrap this up. There's a bit in that where he's like the PFA weren't going to get involved because he wasn't being paid, and my agent had abandoned me or like couldn't do anything, and like lawyers were. So he starts like reading law effectively.
Oh, yeah.
And like he says at one point the end of his training sessions, he'd have to go to the notary office to try and like hand in these things. Like, and there was a big queue, and you're like, why is Darius Vassell having to go to the notary office to get paid? Yeah. I feel like that's just the kind of guy that he is. He's sort of he just constantly is like, you know what? No one's going to do this for me. I'll do it myself. I'm not going to make a fuss. Yep. I'll do it myself.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
What a good guy.
Yeah. Good guy. We salute you. And we're very grateful for you writing the book, and we're very glad that we finally to read it. Thank you, Darius. I'm going to ask you the question I ask every week. Did this book change you? I think I know the answer. Yes.
Absolutely. Sorry. 100%. Yes. Like, it made me a blubbering mess and also just completely changed my understanding of Darius. It's such a beautiful book. Really, there are so many wonderful, wonderful bits in it, and I'm so glad I read it. And yeah.
Very good. What do you give me out of 10?
Oh, it's full marks for me. 10.
No way, really? Is that your first 10 out of 10?
I think it's brilliant. Wow. That is absolutely brilliant.
Craig Revel Horwood as crack.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought it was terrific, darling. I thought it was really great.
I should have done that thing where I go, it was absolutely awful that I couldn't find anything bad to say about it. And the audience goes,
he's going to give them a 10.
Is that so nice? James, I now want you to deliver it in the style of Bruno Tognoli, if possible.
Nope, I'm not doing that, baby.
Not your performing monkey.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry.
I'm trying to think of what they used to say on what judges used to say on those talent shows. I'm very sorry because you're going to have to deal with getting lifelong praise because it's a 10 out of 10.
No way. Another 10. Another 10.
Oh, fuck it. Why not?
Why not?
I feel like I'm getting backed into a corner here. Whatever happens, Tash, what score are you going to give it?
Come on, Tash. Come on, join us. Join us.
I didn't like it.
I
loved it.
Woo!
I've already written down 10. Is it a 10?
10s across the board.
Oh God, he's so grumpy.
He's getting us back grumpy. For Michael Owen. That's what he's doing.
And I'm going to have 4. No. Oh, it's a 10. Okay. Whatever. It's the end of the series.
Yay! Perfect 10. Genuinely, I really love this book.
I know. I feel like we should make copies of it and like send it around.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be illegal.
And I mean, Darius will come after us because he's a lawyer now. We know this.
That's true. Yeah, we don't want to mess with it. And a French lawyer.
Can I just mention one thing very quickly that we haven't mentioned?
Yep.
Because I bet you guys have forgotten the cover, right?
Yep.
Yep.
The cover is a picture of him.
Yep.
Looking, you know, cross-armed, looking very stern, but overlaid onto it, because it's the road to Persia, is Spaghetti Junction.
Oh yeah,
I forgot.
He mentions that.
Yeah.
He mentions that in the book. It's brilliant.
That's very cute.
Very cute.
Very cute.
Cool. Well, there we go. Our first ever perfect 10. Can you believe it? I was going to say the score to beat the series is Vardy, 8.5, but he has wiped the floor with it.
Yeah.
Much like any Disney Vardy princess would with me.
Vardy is not having a party.
Yeah, very nice. Nice headline. Oh, I forgot about Pocahontas. She could destroy me. She was handy.
James Rain.
But this week's quiz.
Keep this for later.
Rain in. Let's move on. This week's quiz. You're all named after one of Darius's nicknames. So Jack, you're Droopy D. Tash, you're Diesel D. And James, you're the big balding Geordie. That's not really a nickname. It's Alan Shearer and Rob Lee's.
It's not far off. It's not too far.
You've got lovely hair.
Hang on to my hairline.
Question number one. Which footballing heavyweight does Darius Vassell describe as too cool for school? A footballing heavyweight. You think football, you think this man. Give you a clue.
Oh, God.
Senior, a manager.
Droopy D.
Yep.
John Gregory?
It's correct. Very good. John Gregory, Droopy too D. cool for school.
There's a bit where, again, I will talk about this book forever, where he nearly like kills John Gregory with a football, isn't there?
Like Redknapp style. Like, oh, he's in the fucking reserves. That kind of thing.
He kicks the ball really close to John Gregory's face. And like the way he describes it, like a single hair goes out of place. And John Gregory's like,
what's that Fergie thing? He could have died. He could have killed him. He said about Robin Persie. Question number two. Who was swapping track lists on an iPod with J. Lloyd Samuel?
What? I'm just going to take a punt here. Big balding Geordie.
Yep.
Was it Gareth Barry?
Incorrect. You're on the wrong track, actually. It's someone involved with Villa, but it's it's not Barry.
Droopy D?
Yep.
Lee Hendry?
Nope. It's not a player.
Mm.
Any guesses? Diesel D?
Mm.
I like Diesel D as a nickname.
Do you want to see if it catches on?
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, I can see you.
Diesel D, I'm Snow White. I'm going to beat your face in.
I could be Snow White. One of the few ones I could.
What, when she's asleep?
Yeah, that's the only time. I was looking. You get out of here.
Yeah, but you'd have to take the dwarves on as well, and there's seven of them.
You're not going to be Jackie Chan.
They've all got pickaxes.
I couldn't Jackie Chan grumpy. The answer is David O'Leary. No one got it right. David O'Leary swapping tracks.
Actually,
I
think I'd written that down. Oh, that's a shame.
Who was the Joker in the Man City dressing room?
Oh, God.
This is a player this time. Well, kind of. Could be a hard on his abilities. More a thug. More a thug is how.
Droopy D.
Yep.
Ben Thatcher.
Correct.
I could tell from the visceral in your...
Oh. Don't like, he was a real piece of work.
Don't vitriol, like when it's Pedro Mendes. Never liked that.
No, with good reason. No one did.
Team
Pedro. So, I'll never forget that.
Nope. Question number four. Which other footballer's house did Darius's cleaner Joe clean?
Sorry, Droopy D.
Yep.
Peter Schmeichel.
Very good. I think this is an unsustainable lead. It is.
What the hell?
I'm sorry, guys.
Love this book. You haven't read this book really for like 4 months.
Yeah. And I forgot that. That is incredible. Yeah.
I got this book tattooed on my body. And occasionally I just look
like
down.
Like Prison
and go,
Break.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Peter Schmeichel, wasn't it? Okay. Just like, next to my nipple.
So is that technically cheating? Yeah. But yeah, I think, Tash, if you're going to get any question, that you're going to get this one, right? The first dance at Darius's wedding? I'll give you a clue. Talking of cancelled, this guy, he knows how to get cancelled.
Oh, it's Robin Thicke!
Correct! If you can name the song, I'll give you 2 points.
I doubt it was Blurred Lines.
It wasn't Blurred Lines. That'd be a weird song for the wedding
day. Have at your wedding, yeah.
I know you want me. You didn't agree to this wedding. the song was called Lost Without You. Never heard of it. And finally, what is Darius... Oh, shit, you've already got this already.
No, come on, ask us the big question that we're all waiting for. How much was the book?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Oh, yes. Let me get this up. And this is worth 10 points. Whoever's closest to
Oh, God. Oh, well, this is bullshit.
Jack's annoyed now,
Why were we even playing this game previously?
All right, For Jack, it's worth 1 point. For Tash, it's worth 3 points. And for James, it's worth 4 points. Okay?
That's the same problem.
Nice. It's true.
Okay, so we know it's under 99, don't we?
It's definitely under 99. Yeah. Here we go. I've got the exact price. It's not a crazy amount, but it's more than I would normally pay. Okay, let's go through this one by one. Whoever's closest wins the points.
God.
Wins the series. So Tash.
Mm. Oh, have I got to set the precedent? Okay, so you said it was more than you'd normally pay for four books, but they're all normally pretty cheap, aren't they?
Usually about £2.50 each.
I'm going to say it was £26.50.
James?
I'm going to say £13.80.
Ooh.
And Jack?
I'm going to go, and I'm not just splitting the difference here, I think, based on what you've said, and based on your level of cheapskateness,
excuse me?
It's going to be £18.50.
Can't believe you call me a cheapskate.
No, I just mean that you won't stop talking about how much you know. That
I am going to enjoy giving out these scores.
No!
The winner of the quiz and the series... The book cost me £13.04. So James Baljan, you are the winner, despite getting nothing right in the quiz apart from that. See, research is for nerds, Jack.
I finally got one of these bloody questions right.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you think I feel? I've spent my entire life revising for
You've
this.
Had it tattooed on your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that £13, like, I'm not, you know, I don't think we're...
No, it's a good price. It's an alright price for a book. RIP. I agree.
That's a bargain for this
book. It's pretty good, but I usually buy books that have existed for a million years. I think the only book I ever paid more for was Memphis Depay's book, which I think cost about 15
I will say, considering it's been around three of you, it's in immaculate condition. Jack, you didn't even stick any of the pages together.
I knew you were going to say that.
How dare you?
And this there is pictures is in here as well.
Guys,
get it all out. We're not going to talk to each other for another 6 months. So get it all out now.
He's an entirely sexless man. I can't, you know.
He tried. He tried.
I would hug this book to death if I could.
Dry hump it.
Spoon it, yeah. Lovingly spoon it.
Yeah.
We all know what you mean. Lads, as your award for being such great readers this series, as always, and being so much fun, it's time for a Ken Zong. We all know who Ken Zong is. He writes another chant every week. And actually, people who subscribe to the Football Book Club will know a lot more about him because he just did an exclusive half-hour interview with us, which you can listen to if you sign up to the Football Book Club.
An exclusive? Oh my God, we got there ahead of the sun.
Yeah, quickly, Kevin tried to get the sun. Everyone need to know who he was. He's like the secret footballer in The Guardian.
It was a really fun 20-minute talk with James Bug, and then James Bug running into another room putting on a wig. It was great.
very, very, very so a lot of people have suggested he's not real, and people know he's not real from listening to that show. However, just to clarify, I've made a little clip of another chat I had with Ken Zong, and he's got his final song of the series as part of this. Okay, so let's play this. Ken Zong.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you very much. First of all, Ken, thank you for all your amazing songs this series. Been some great ones. I think the Callum Davenport one, as controversial as it was my favourite. But however, you might not be aware of this, but as the series has gone on, something a bit unusual has been happening, I guess, on our social media accounts and amongst our listeners. We've had a few Ken Zong truthers kind of come out of the woodwork who don't believe that Ken Zong is a real person. They think it's either me or someone else I've made up. So can we put the rumours to bed? You are real.
That I am not you.
Okay, that's very cryptic the way he said that.
I don't know if I can conclusively prove that I wasn't made up, but I, as far as I'm aware, I am here.
This has got very philosophical.
I believe in myself.
Okay. You Zong, therefore you are.
Is Ken Zong that chatbot that became sentient?
Well, I gather you've got one more to make us go out with a bang series.
Yes, that is the plan.
Okay. May I ask what the song is?
Well, are you familiar with the work of DJ Khaled?
I am. I'm a big fan of his work.
Because otherwise it would have been a real flop.
Okay. Can I ask what the song is?
Yes. Yeah. The song is his seminal hit, All I Do Is Win.
Oof. That's a huge song, Ken.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if anyone can step up to the challenge, it's the Zongmeister. It's very high energy. So let's see how this goes. I'll cue you in. A one, a two. A one, two, three.
All we need is Niall Quinn, no matter what got goes on his mind, he can never get enough. And every time we cross another ball, and you know that he'll be going up for the header.
Yeah.
And he stays there.
Yeah.
Forever.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Because all we need is Quinn.
Quinn.
So when the ball goes in, watch him leap in the air. Quinn will be there.
Oh. Kenzo.
Very good.
Well, he's very good. Just everyone there. Yeah, I've taken a picture just to prove you are real.
Oh my god!
But yeah. Ken, you may not exist, but god damn it, you're a good football chant writer.
Thanks
very
much.
And I'm hoping whenever we come back for our next series, you'll be there still, right?
Oh yeah, I'm always around. You know.
Okay, perfect.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas from Ken.
I started that thinking that Ken Zong was real, but by the end...
Yeah, do you want to hear even spookier? I think I told you this previously, but when we recorded that, his track of dialogue never came through.
I had to, like, contact... Fight Club? Hang on.
Yeah, well, it is. Well. It never came through. And if anything's proof it doesn't exist, it's that. I had to, like, contact Squadcast again. It was really hard. Anyway,
really weird.
That's all for this week's episode and for this series. The Road to Persia is complete, but there will be one final episode for our book club members over on Patreon next week. To listen, make sure you join the club and receive your very own book bookmark whilst doing so. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. As always, get in touch with us on Twitter @FootyBookClub, Instagram @FootballBookClub, or on Facebook. Send us your thoughts, your author footballer puns, chart ideas, or if you've got a moment in time for us. Thank you, everyone, for this series. You enjoyed it?
Thank you.
You enjoyed it, guys?
Yes.
It's been lovely.
Yeah.
It's been a traumatic pregnancy.
It's our longest yet, but it was great.
But we did give birth to a beautiful Darius.
Beautiful baby at the end. It's been a long one, this series. It's been very good fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening, as always. Thank you so much for that. And I'm not sure when we'll be back. Some point when the world needs us.
Like Nanny McPhee.
Yeah, like Nanny McPhee. Maybe what if the world doesn't need us anymore? Maybe this is our last episode.
Of course.
Yeah. Who knows? Any last words?
Drill Puss 2022, out!
Goodbye. See you soon. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Baljan. It was created and produced by James Bug. Thanks to Darius for writing the book and hiding the book. But where are they all now? Well, after a period out of the game, Darius finally retired, aged 35, in 2016, and has since probably taken up several more hobbies and gotten through countless packets of highlighters. Trevor Sinclair is banned from all vodka revs nationwide for excessive kung fu. Sven-Goran Eriksson still probably thinks Darius Vassell is no longer with us. Dion Dublin is definitely faster than Darren Huckabee, and Jackie Chan is, frankly, way overdue a comeback. The music heals behind the work of Silent Partner and is using the Creative Commons 4.0 license. Thanks, as always, for listening to us this series. We'll be back soon with more Football Book Club, we promise. Until then, bye-bye.